Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It is August 24th. We're recording this on the day after Hard Knocks Episode 3 aired, also post-preseason Game 2, where the Lions snuck out a victory over the Indianapolis Colts in Indy, 27-26, ending an 8-game losing streak in the preseason. The anti-Ravens. The Ravens have won like 22 or 23 straight preseason games. The Lions are turning in the opposite direction, but they stopped that right now. And Dan Campbell's
Super Bowl,
trying to
win, come.
Build that winning culture even in the preseason.
After 08, I will never care about a preseason game again. That's all I can say.
You still have that preseason champ shirt?
Yeah.
4-0?
Yeah, the preseason.
That's a great shirt.
4-0. Yeah. Anyway.
So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So we got Rud Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hey, everybody.
And Connor.
How's it going, Lions fans?
All right, gentlemen. So as I mentioned, 27-26, the Lions sneak out a victory. They gave up another late touchdown, but Indianapolis decides to go for two, and they do not get a good pressure by the D-line on the last play. So, I mean, that kind of ties in as well to a lot of Hard Knocks with the joint practices that they had in Indy, where day one, it did not go well, but day two, they responded. So, do you guys want to talk about the joint practices or the preseason game first?
I think we should do the practice.
All right, time is succession during the week. Joint practices. I'm just glad that the cameras were there to capture it first.
Oh yeah,
that was a blast.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Yeah,
before,
so good.
Before.
I love the energy they brought.
Jamal Williams is just ridiculously awesome.
Seriously. at one point when he was jaw jacking and like
the Colts,
there was like three of the Lions, like it looked like the Lions were just had another level of energy. Even if they did kind of get handled that first day, they still looked like they had a good energy. Like they were feisty.
Yeah, you wonder if some of that's editing, you know, you weren't seeing the Colts really responding to that so much. It was more to the Lions end of it. But either way, it's just awesome to see. The energy was high. I think Campbell was digging it. I mean, it was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I am just grateful. I am just eternally grateful for Hard Knocks this year as a long, long time suffering Lions fan. I'm just loving every minute of this stuff. It's awesome.
I love that just like every single matchup in every day is just this massive battle, the Campbell. Like,
yeah,
you got to win your individual matchups. You got to win the 11-on-11 drills. Like,
yeah.
And he fucking rewards you. Like when they stuffed him day two at the end zone, like he was fired up and they were fired up. I don't know if you would have seen that under Patricia. I would think not.
Well, but, you can only get so fired up when you're confined to an ATV, you know?
Yeah.
But Campbell talking to the team, though, talking about his vision. Like,
how
do you hear a coach talk about their vision, you know? All these success books and all these things, they say you have to visualize, you have to see it. I truly believe Campbell sees it. Like, in his mind, he sees it success. He sees the Super Bowl. He's seeing it all. And he just wants everyone else to buy in and see it, too. And it's just his energy is so contagious.
And you know what? It's not hard to see, honestly. Their steps they're doing, the actions they're taking, everything that the insights we're gathering from this tells me he has a clear vision, and you can see what he's executing and what he's building towards. And it's really exciting.
Well, I mean, we all, before we got on this podcast, we got the shit off her stuff on before we got on the podcast here.
Yeah.
Do you like that? I was like, why is he holding these pants in his hand?
Another great analogy by Dan Campbell. It was so good.
I love how that's two episodes now that it started with a great Dan Campbell speech to kick off the episode. It's fantastic.
At least this one made a little more sense than the dragging people in water and drowning them.
Oh, please.
Like,
that made perfect
sense. I'm curious if he works on these before. Do you think he like sits in his office and like
probably
looks
know.
In the mirror, or is he riffing these all?
I mean, I don't think he just picked up a random pair of pants with chalk on it. So
he said something about the pants too, like wasn't the pair of pants he wanted or something. He says,
"I wish we could have seen." Do you remember last season when they actually buried the game tape of a loss
yeah,
in the backyard?
Yeah.
I wish that like something like that could be on Hard Knocks. That would have been so funny.
That would have been so Ted Lasso. Right? I mean, remember the Ted Lasso, they took the curse out of the locker room. They went out and everyone had thrown something. They were,
that's right.
That's all. I just like that shit, though. It's all team building. It's all camaraderie. It's all good stuff. I mean, just all good.
So first. First day of joint practices, as I mentioned, it went poorly. The Lions' defense wasn't playing up to snuff. The offense was not firing any cylinders. But what you like to see, and by all reports, is that, and what Hard Knocks showed, they came back the second day they responded, which is important to see.
Yep.
The defense didn't allow us a single touchdown in red zone defensive drills. Which I think is exciting. Malcolm Rodriguez continues just he's. I mean, him and
Hutchinson might be the number one star.
How can you not?
I can't believe he could be like our starting linebacker, like our top. That's insane to think. Was he sixth round pick?
All I know is as an ex player, college player, and high school player. I mean, I just love his attitude. Amazing. His love of the game just oozes, man. He's like, oh, you gotta love this shit.
I think
he just loves it. It's awesome to see.
He's a stud. I think the real question is, why did he fall? Because when you look at it like that, N'Kobe Dean.
His size, really.
N'Kobe Dean is smaller and was getting way higher touted at the top of the league.
But he plays for the top defense in the country. Georgia's like one of the top defenses
saying,
ever.
Statistically, Rodriguez like stacked near the top in everything. And if you look at his build and everything, it projects to the league. Much better, especially when you see his athletic traits. Like, I'm just saying,
it's
a
Georgia.
Mystery, maybe it's just the nature.
It's
of
Georgia it. And the teams he played.
That's exactly.
I mean, N'Kobe Dean faced better competition.
Yeah. I mean,
and
it's not like Malcolm Rodriguez is above N'Kobe. I mean, N'Kobe Dean's also getting a lot of praise this offseason. So,
yeah,
I'm not putting him above.
But I love Malcolm.
I'm putting him in the same class as N'Kobe Dean. That's all.
I hope you're right.
That.
I mean, he's a smallish linebacker that stacks stats on stats and covers. You know, does it all. So
I guess in that sense, sure.
Yeah. It's hard to argue that.
We'll see. I mean
the coaching staff seems to love him too. He's got it's a lot of fun to see him grow this fast. It's pretty wild. But like Kellen Shepard said, I don't want to put you in there, but I have no choice.
He's just hip tossing dudes like left and right out there, and it's a beautiful thing to see. I love it. Do you see the one where he didn't even use his hands? The dude just kind of got tangled in his jersey as he was pushing him.
Yeah.
He just twists like an alligator, and the dude flips over him, and now he's on top. And it's just like, it's so badass.
I was really hoping like this would be the offseason. We saw Derek Barnes just go crazy, but
I think
it doesn't
seem
like
will.
That's happened at all.
I still think he'll have a good season.
It doesn't seem like he's having that great a camp. From what I've read,
I've heard pretty solid things about him. Nothing spectacular, but solid.
Well, here's the thing: if Barnes were living up to what we thought he'd be doing, he'd be the starting linebacker right now. Instead, they got Anzalone and Rodrigo. So you know that tells you something right there that I don't think Barnes is stepping up.
What about the other one?
Should be. What the other one?
And Anzalone really shouldn't be a starting linebacker, in my opinion. I think he's more of like a depth guy that brings leadership.
Right.
I mean, if he's one of your starting linebackers, that's not what you want.
Right. Do we have
in a dream
we have three linebackers, right? What's the or am I missing something? Is it just you keep saying like next to Anzalone, like only him? Or do you assume someone on the other
side?
Well,
I'm reading everything I read about them, they're talking about playing two linebackers at a time. So unless they're playing
Is that because like someone like Julian Okwara is gonna be playing Mike or something? I haven't heard much out of him, by the way.
Because he hasn't been playing. He's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt? That's okay. Yeah. That's why.
Romeo's
What's
hurt.
Going on with Gerard Davis?
Ugh, yeah. I mean, he's out there at the end of the preseason game. It's
he was really bad in the first preseason game.
I don't know. They cut some linebackers recently, and he made it past the first cut. That's pretty encouraging for someone like him. They cut.
It's a shame. That bounce back would have been a really cool story.
They cut. Who did they cut today? Did anyone see it?
I'm not sure who they cut.
Oh, what's his name? He's got three names too. It's they always say his three names together.
Well, we'll look it up.
Got
but,
cut too.
Yeah.
But UJ had him as like a dark horse after his one awesome game.
Last year. Josh Woods. Josh Woods was my dark horse to make the team, and apparently he didn't.
It's called the dark horse.
I mean, someone that keeps sticking out to me that I love. I mean, we all love him, but just the consistency we see not Aiden Hutchinson is so exciting for what's
going on. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. So good.
You saw it against the Colts, too, of a top-tier offensive line.
Yeah.
He makes it look easy.
He does. And all the coaches love him, too. The coaches don't mind heaping praise on him. They don't, like, this seems like a coaching staff that usually will, like, bark at you to get him hyped up. They know this guy's going to grind and get the job done for them. They have no problem, like, telling him. You're better than we thought you'd be.
Like Glenn was saying to him in that scene.
Glenn,
on Hard Knocks.
We saw Campbell the week before.
True.
He seems humble enough, though, that it's not going to like go to his head, you know?
No.
He appears that way to me.
It's the match made in heaven to me. Like, everyone knows what's going on. Yeah. There's nothing, like, wrong. There's no egos. Right. It's just, it is what it is. And we're all happy.
Yes.
And he looks better than I honestly expected. Like, I knew he was a big, strong dude who can move pretty well, but like,
yeah,
his agility.
I didn't realize how built he was.
And like, he's so svelte. He doesn't look like he carries any fat. He's so agile, and he turns that corner, and he like, it looks freakishly like, I don't know how he was getting rated lower athletically than people, because it's hard to see now when you're watching him practice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is this is another episode of Hard Knocks, by the way, where Ben Johnson hasn't even gotten mentioned. It's
I know.
You think he's like an offensive assistant that's like the water boy.
There's got to be a Ben Johnson golf episode coming, right?
Maybe that's what it'll be.
And we got
golf's barely been mentioned.
Yeah,
too.
That's really bizarre as well.
Hey, there's two episodes left.
That could be.
David Blouse had more screen time than golf.
David Blouse had way more screen time, I guess, because he's on the edge of getting cut. But Tim Boyle hasn't gotten it.
But Goff has, like, the most to prove, frankly. I mean, yeah. I guess Blau, roster spot, but everyone cares more about the starter. That's just how
like,
it goes.
I am curious about the nature of that relationship, Connor, because I've heard good things about it. Like, they're saying that Goff is really getting ownership with this offense as much as Ben Johnson. He's getting a lot of input, and they're using what he wants and what he knows and his own background. They're taking him seriously and really listening to him, which is huge, which I feel like Stafford often didn't get the benefit of when he was here, you know? He just kind of got an offense he was given. And so, like, I think that's, like, I would, like, I hope they paint a really badass narrative of, like, these melding of minds or something. That would be really cool to see.
Well, Jack, your comment brought to mind, I think, one of the whole keys to the Campbell's style here is that it's about the team taking ownership. You know, and which brings to mind this practice he did the other day where he let the players run the practice on themselves. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting.
I know. I thought we might see that on maybe we'll see it on the next episode. Hopefully.
Yeah. It was right before the show was coming out. I don't know if they had time to edit that in or not. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's
there's
all
a little lag behind.
That's wild, though. Like, that's a day. I can't remember hearing that before. In the NFL.
Me neither. I
like,
mean, here
besides,
in
like
other...
a summer, it's not a summer workout. This is like training camp. Like, season's almost upon us.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you see it in other lines of work where they give someone a chance to, you know, go up there and be the teacher or, you know, take on a different role and things like that. But in football, I've never really heard of it happening like this.
Before, yeah. So. I think it's brilliant, honestly, because you think about it, like, they always say you need to know everybody's job right around you. Like, so you can step in and do it. That's next man up. And that's like, I know football that gets, you know, there it's a little sectioned off, but like it can get to the extreme where anyone could go back there and throw a football as a quarterback. But my point is you learn so much about your job when you have to teach your job or coach your job. And that's such, I think that's a brilliant way to help them get a new perspective on what they do and yeah. learn more about the intricacies of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So really fun practices. Colts had an awesome setup for those joint practices, by the way. Like with
oh, it looked beautiful.
And, two fields back to back.
In the woods, yeah. like walking through that tunnel of trees.
The blue brick road.
Very cinematic.
Right.
That was funny.
Yeah, I had a really fun time watching that. Those was during the game, right? Let's shift to the game here.
Okay.
I thought Chase Lucas and his trash talk was kind of funny. You little yeah. boy, 12.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, no, who's 19, though? Because they were highlighting Chase Lucas, but on that one play, he was trash talking. But 19 absolutely lit up the receiver on that play.
I thought that was Lucas.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Lucas. It was like a trick of the eye. You were following Lucas, and then all of a sudden he pops in like inside, and the ball carrier goes out and gets nailed by like a corner or a safety or someone, number 19, and absolutely stuck. And I don't know who that is. I'm so
I know the play too. I can't remember who it was either.
It was dirty. He made some roster noise for himself.
Yeah.
Got a lot of Pimpleton out there too.
Davion Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard about Davion Smith. They use him on blitzing, I think, too.
Huh.
Ooh, I've heard good things about him. I just heard
thought
his
it was
name.
Lucas. So.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, that got me.
Watch it again. You'll see.
I think he's right.
Yeah. Anzalone didn't play in this game, so Rodriguez, Barnes got a lot of time. The quarterback battle still is not settled, at least in this game.
Oh,
there's no more clarity on it.
Nope. Blau seems to be the number
two guy. I think it's
kind of
settled.
You think it Blau?
I like Blau. I thought I liked Blau, but now there's something fundamental about putting the ball on the ground repeatedly and not being able to handle snaps and stuff. That's like, you can't trust that.
Yeah.
Back-to-back games. Like, handle the
ball,
man. I think
Blau is ahead of Boyle. But I think Boyle had a really good second half. Well, all things considered. And I think that might put him, because ultimately he has the better arm strength.
He's got more upside.
But I think Blau just manages the game a little bit better.
He does, until he drops the ball on the ground. I just think you can't really tolerate that too much, you know? Like,
I totally agree. I think those things can be coached, hopefully.
The real question is, do you keep him on as a third-string quarterback who should never see the field when you have some more talented positions that, you know, you don't want to cut, like receiver or maybe an extra linebacker to make up for the lack of talent or something like that, you know? Like,
well,
it's tough when you look at it that way, I think.
I still think we should maybe look externally for a backup. I don't know if I really trust either of them that much.
Well, I don't think they are. Like, there's those reports of Mason Rudolph, but I mean, that I would rather keep
on
those guys.
I don't buy the Mason Rudolph
stuff. I agree with you. I'd rather keep these guys.
Honestly, I want Mitch. Give me Mitch right now. He's not starting.
You could sign someone off the street if you really need to at some point.
Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, Maserati Mitch.
Let's he's going to start for Pittsburgh.
No, he's having a terrible camp. Pickett's.
Yeah, I don't know if he's
going
to start.
Pickett's got that.
All the indication is that Trubisky will be starting the season for that.
He'll start for like 2 weeks, and then they'll throw Pickett's in, maybe.
Pickett's getting a lot of praise.
From what I've heard is Mitch has had a bad camp and Pickett's is.
I think
great
if they're
camp.
Smart, they'll or if he's if he if it's worth it, they'll want him like to do a similar narrative Stafford have, winning out first day one the spot. I think that's what you want with a guy like him, and I think that's what they're hoping to do. But
I know they're not going to get Mitch. I just want him. There's something wrong with them.
You want Mitch?
Give me Mitch. Give me a Mitch Lions jersey.
Having Mitch.
I would not mind him as a backup.
Think
though.
About, yeah, think about
be
UJ.
A great backup.
Think about the pod potential, UJ. You can't be thinking about the business. This is the business.
I know, but you know, we can't make too much fun of him because he's Zach's favorite guy.
That's true.
Yeah. But you can do your voice.
That's Zach's.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him as a backup.
I wouldn't mind him as a backup, to be honest with you.
I think in the next 3 years, he's just going to be a career backup.
Yeah, I mean, this is his best chance.
I think he has a little better chance to win his games than Boyle does right now.
Or Blau. Oh, Mitch is definitely a better quarterback than Tim Boyle.
Yeah. I did want to mention the offensive line for the Lions that played in this game. None of our starters played, but
Yeah.
They lit up this Colts defense. 5.3 yards a carry, 174 yards on the ground,
man.
On 33 carries. Justin Jackson, 54 yards. Craig Reynolds, 37. Igwebuke, 32. Jamar Jefferson, 25. So, just remarkably
consistent.
What are
you guys thinking about, Jamar?
UJ, something interesting. Yeah. I was reading The Athletic. They were giving their roster predictions. The guy they had to cut, they said he's the 54th man on the roster, Logan Stenberg. A guy we haven't seen in Hard Knocks, by the way, at
I've
all.
I've seen that. He's been kicking ass lately, but it's going to be a some tough cuts going on.
Yeah,
he's definitely on the bubble, though, definitely.
Yeah, and just by the virtue of the Lions having a really strong offensive line, then you're definitely, and he can't play tackle, which hurts him for sure.
Uh-huh. Or center.
Evan Brown is cemented as like the backup interior guy. And Tommy Kramer could probably jump out and play.
And apparently Stenberg is much better on the left than he is on the right.
Mm. I heard that.
For whatever that's worth. And it's going to be tough.
There's only so many guys you can just throw on special teams. Tough roster cuts have to be made. I feel like this is the first year. Maybe this is just Hard Knocks, and maybe it's our roster getting better. But this year's cuts feel like way tougher than since we started this pod. This feels like the toughest cut year that we've talked about.
Yeah, I think going back to what you guys were saying earlier, though, like this Hard Knocks, they are keying a lot on these guys that are trying to make the team because we're gonna get to love these people, and then they're gonna have to cut them.
Right,
and that's what they're playing that up, which is.
Albina Easy is not going to make this roster.
No, he is not.
There's he got a lot of screen time.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but it gave good perspective a lot of things. I mean, like his family, his wife said they can, here they can get water anytime they want, watch TV anytime they want. Like things that we just completely take for granted.
Yeah.
Like back home where he comes from, they don't. Yeah. It did put a lot of things in perspective in that regard. So I thought it was interesting. Character profile.
Yeah,
did anyone
mention
Deuce Staley's voice yet? What happened?
That was hilarious. That was so funny.
I was like, what the hell? Was he clubbing the night before?
Especially a guy with such a distinctive voice, a commanding voice to have it.
He needs to use his drill sergeant voice.
I love it when he went to camp
from your diaphragm.
I lost my voice, man. He's telling Campbell, I lost my voice. I lost my voice. What am I going to do? It was so funny. Oh, my God.
He's got to learn to yell from his diaphragm better.
Too good. Too good.
We got our first real look at Khalil Pimpleton, too, in this episode.
Really good speed. Hands.
Yes.
Oh. Perfect practice squad guy.
A lot to be desired in the hands.
And in the game, he had some bad drops, too. I mean, they showed it on Hard Knocks, too.
A guy that small is going to need some time to develop unless he's got,
I don't
super
think he makes the roster.
Skills. No,
he makes the practice squad? Do you think they keep him around?
I think he makes the practice squad
for his speed, but he doesn't make the 53.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, Tom Kennedy showed out again in this game. I'd rather have him than Khalil Pimpleton.
What about
Cephas?
Well, that's between him and Benson, honestly. Benson has not shown us nearly enough to beat out Kennedy or Cephas, in my opinion.
Well, Cephas hasn't shown anything because he's not out there.
Yeah, but Cephas's body of work is still better than either of theirs. So that does speak for him still. It doesn't go away. Like, that was what I was told by my coach. Like, you know what? You're not gaining ground, but you're not losing your body of work. You're still the same guy. As long as you can come back healthy, we know what you are. And we know what Cephas is. You didn't need another whole camp to know. Exactly.
That's what we know.
Connor knows.
Well,
what's
I mean,
up.
Do any of you guys think Benson's going to make the squad?
Oh, it's a tough cut if he doesn't. I mean, but I don't see it. He hasn't overly impressed me either. So
I don't think he does. There's too many.
I don't think so either.
I think he's the last guy out. I think he's the odd man out of that room.
I think so too. It's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough.
Someone will probably pick him up too.
I think Trendy Benson's shown to be pretty good, like fifth right receiver. I think he's gotten better as the camp has gone along. So I actually disagree with that notion.
The fact
that Cephas has a history of injuries, I think it goes against him.
You're making a decision on
which guy to keep.
So you're officially on the Cephas out wagon? You're hopping on?
Yeah. Playing his play.
I mean, Amon-Ra, DJ, Khalif, Raymond.
For people that don't know, there's a civil war in our podcast chat about if Cephas makes the roster or not. That's Bob is the headliner of Cephas Out.
Yeah.
And Rud Dog is the headliner of Cephas In.
Cephas so In, baby.
It's like Captain America Civil War. Yeah. It's like the two sides.
Right. Share us so in the chat. Who are you with?
Big Z has just chosen his side.
It's extremely tough. I mean, don't forget the Lions give like a decent chunk of change to get Trinity Benson. I don't think they want to quit on him either.
That's not going to matter, though, either.
I think that made something, too.
I mean, that's not going to
matter. Drafted by this regime. If I had to guess, Cephas is out, Benson is in. That's my prediction as of right now.
Of what you know, if you want to sound stupid, you're welcome to do so. But
we'll see. We'll find out in a few weeks.
I think at some point you got to be on the field to prove you deserve to be.
He's been on the field plenty. He's put up good film.
The fact that he's an old regime guy.
I heard he was not having a great camp before.
They said he was having good practices.
He was dominating
practices,
and then he might have had like a drop here or there.
I heard he was,
But so did Benson, though. But his plus, as far as
he's been around and he's improved
way more. Yeah, but so
what has Benson done though? Seriously, Z, tell me. I mean, has he impressed you in any way?
I mean, led the team in yards this last game. So had one. I think he had one drop on a screen, and Rud Dog has now said he's the worst wide receiver.
Zach. Well, at least we know now. You finally, like, admit it just out loud. You're playing your flag. Oh, you did now. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, see, now you start making slanderous things up. I don't hate Trinity Benson, but if I had to make a choice between him and Cephas, it's a no-brainer. And then it really comes down between Kennedy and Benson, in my mind. I think that's
I feel like Kennedy makes
that.
The roster. I think Kennedy is safer than Cephas, personally. I'm not saying Cephas doesn't make it, but
I don't
I think
know.
They're going to talk to Tom Kennedy, ask if he wants to stick around the practice squad. He's just going to go the practice squad.
Here's the thing. I don't know what they see because he's still probably the most limited athlete on that receiver room. He's small.
The man gets open, though.
He does, and that's why I'm just saying, but that's where I'm curious because some people got hung up on potential over like what they see with their own eyes. Like,
do.
And you see that how often though too? Like, do you see the guy who tears up preseason get cut from these teams? Like, sometimes if you just don't have the traits they want, they're just not going to hold on to you. And I guess that'll really tell us what they see. Because I mean, if anything, Kennedy does seem to personify grit a bit. So, I mean, he's a gritty receiver. So that's going to be a hard cut if that's truly what you value.
Yeah.
And he's producing.
Yeah. I mean, give him all the credit. A lot of guys with his athletic profile probably get cut early on. He's managed to stick around for 4 years on the bubble. It's quite incredible, actually.
Yeah.
I give him a lot of kudos for his grit and his just perseverance, That's, I like stories like that, But this year we're going to have some tough cuts, compared to previous years. This is going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah. Another guy I want to mention that has really impressed me, especially with his tackling, is Kirby Joseph, our third-round safety. I'm excited to see, he's not going to start at safety by any means. I think it's pretty cemented that it's Tracy Walker and Deshaun Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
But nice rotational piece.
Right, and a lot of, no pressure for him to start him right away. And he'll, like you said, rotational, he'll learn. But it's good to see that, the ability's there and he can,
improve. At least be a weapon.
And he has those instincts to be a ball hawk, which is exciting, too. So if he can round out his game, it could be a little bit of a steal, perhaps.
Yeah.
Hey, Campbell brought up something in Hard Knocks, or shown in Hard Knocks, where he let someone who got a punch to drive the plane home, fly the plane home.
Oh, I love that. I had that quote on my list here.
Did you? Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, it just reminded me because they haven't caused a turnover yet in that regard. And, of course, the fumble. And he's just dying for someone to break that.
The exact quote. If anybody gets a punch out here, man, they can fly the plane home themselves. They can literally pilot the fucking plane.
That was so great. Awesome. It was so great. I mean, Campbell just never disappoints, man.
Seriously.
Everything he does is awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of Dan Campbell, Well, sort of a other segue, though, that comedian did a really good job making.
Yeah. He's what turned them around. They had great practice.
Oh, Josh Adams, the comedian?
Josh Adams.
He was funny. Comedian.
He went hard after Campbell a lot.
Hey, brother. Hey, come over here, brother.
Man, I ain't going to beat your ass if you only got one cheek. Yeah, you got to at least have two cheeks.
Two cheeks, man. Shit. That was hilarious. Oh my God, he did a good Campbell.
Vegas odds on Dan Campbell, coach of the year.
Oh yeah,
people are buying in.
Yep, he's the front runner right now in Vegas. 30% of bets for coach of the year have been put on Dan Campbell. He's 10-1 right now. He opened at like 16-1, and he's at 10-1 now. And Brian Daboll is second, the coach of the Giants.
We talked about this on the podcast chat, but I want to bring it up here. What do you think it would actually take for him to win coach of the year? A playoff appearance, a playoff win, a division win? Like, what is the threshold?
Well, the award is voted on before the playoffs start, so it wouldn't be a playoff win. But I think a playoff appearance with
Playoff appearance would for sure.
You think a wild card appearance would get him coach of the year?
It's the classic like turnaround coach of the year.
Usually a wild card, like
McDermott, the Bills coach. Like they were the number one seed last year, or they weren't a number one seed, but like. If you were good last year and you're good again this year, you usually don't win Coach of the Year. It's those teams that like are terrible the year prior that turn it around usually win Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
That's why I think going from like 3 to, I don't know about 10 wins, but 11 wins, I think you get high consideration, especially as a coach of the Lions.
I think you got to make some noise in your division, too. I don't think you can just
11
like
wins would be close to it.
You have to get some noise.
What is 11 wins?
11 and 6.
All those 6 losses are your division. You're not going to be getting coach of the year probably.
That's unlikely. If they get 11 wins, they're not going to lose to the Bears twice.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying I think you got to make a little noise in your
two division. Of those 11 wins probably are the Bears if we're being honest.
The primary objective of the season is to win your division, you know? So like I think that's what you got to make some noise try to do.
But we're thinking in context of coach of the year here.
Well, do you think Jim Caldwell deserved coach of the year he came in and went off and went to the playoffs?
No.
But at the end of the year, we fell ass backward into the playoffs, blowing that game in Green Bay, like, and missing our chance at a division.
No, and he didn't win it.
Because what?
He didn't win the award. So
that all depends.
Yeah,
on
but
the
that
context.
Was like a that was a similar record and a playoff appearance to what you're talking about, and we came off. I feel like we're coming off being pretty bad. Or were we? I don't know. But it doesn't matter. I didn't think he deserved it that year.
Were we
6-10
the year before and won the last 4 games in a row?
I think so, yeah. I think that was that year.
Or am I thinking that's Jim Schwartz?
No.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I'm just saying, I don't know if that gets him. But maybe it will. I'd love to see it. It'd be great.
Yeah, Lions still 150-1 to win the Super Bowl. But one of the more higher teams in Vegas as well on their over for wins. And their odds have come down a lot to make the playoffs. So I think when you're on Hard Knocks, it gives you a high profile. People want to, you know, they get into the team and start betting on the team that they're watching on the TV. So.
Well, going back just briefly to the Lions wanting to be on Hard Knocks or at least, attacking it head on instead of waiting to be called for it. I think this has been a just incredible, sales pitch to other players in the league who might want to play here in the future, you know? I mean, just to see him, it just looks like such a fun team, man. Such a great environment. And I think they're going to really win over some possible future free agents. So, this is all a big sell job, too. I mean, let's look at it realistically. And you know, this could mean some good free agent signings in the future. So.
Absolutely. Just as much a sell job for the coaches as well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah,
bring
absolutely.
Bring in another coaching talent.
Absolutely. And they're going to have to soon because I'm telling you, these guys are not going to be around long.
Because this Hard Knocks is definitely focused on the coaching more than any other Hard Knocks
guys,
I've watched in the past.
I just had a theory. Do you think they're deliberately trying to hide Ben Johnson? Do you think they just don't want him advertised to the league? Like, it just occurred to me, like, I don't know why, but like, I feel like this guy is like a secret they're trying to keep because he seems to have like a tint of brilliance to him. the way he just came in last year and helped transform our offense midseason. Like, I don't know. Like, could that even be like, do you think like the Lions were like, hey, we're just not going to like, cause like he's like going to get taken from us too fast that way. Or is it just not worth hiding? I don't know. Conspiracy theory.
I think there's three episodes left and we just haven't seen that yet.
You might be right. Probably.
That's what I think.
just throwing something up.
Yeah, I do want to mention like Romeo Okwara, Josh Pascal, Jameson Williams, a lot of those guys on the pup list to start the season. So we won't even have a chance of seeing them till week five to start the season.
Is that is that a little worrisome to anyone that our 2 second round picks so far are dinged up and won't really get to do anything?
See, the Josh Pascal one concerns me more than Levi. I mean, this is immediate. Like, this should have been caught. Like in the draft process,
yeah, but Levi,
it's not like an injury that occurred during rookie.
It depends on the injury. I mean, this is what a sports hernia, right? Isn't that what they said for Pascal?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not mistaken. But, like, Levi's worries me a lot more because it seems chronic, whatever he's going
through
last year, and that, that worries me a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the medicals before on Levi if there was like, you know, red flags about his back.
But it is concerning that our two high D line picks in the second round are not going to be participating in the foreseeable future.
I agree. It's definitely a concern
For sure.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams. I think we'll see him in week five. I would hope. Like every indication to like practice now, they're just being super cautious.
I think they see him as the guy who's gonna get us over the goal line to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean. I think they're going to want to save him because I think we have enough weapons to be successful without him. We have a really good receiver room, and he's like going to be like the trump card in the end. And like, why even risk the hint of accident unnecessarily until we're playing meaningful games a little bit later? I don't know. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Hey, as much as we want to win now, Campbell and Holmes are playing the long game. So
true.
Yeah, it'd be great to win this year. Win a division, maybe.
Oh no, they're talking Super Bowl.
But they're
Bowl
playing
year.
For a long term thing. I mean, I think even realistically, they're not even thinking deep in the playoffs this year. Although
I think
it could
you're full
happen
shit.
UJ,
you should
enough.
Start drinking some blue Kool-Aid right quick.
I'm just saying they're playing a long game. They're not playing a.
I agree.
Short game.
Obviously, they're going to try to win the Super Bowl because they're going to try to win every game, but it's not the goal of the season.
I don't know. That's what they're saying. So why should we not believe
it? Should always be the goal. I don't think...
I'm not saying it's not the goal. I just think in their grand scheme.
What's
of
your point,
Detroit
UJ?
A winner.
This isn't their all-in year is what he's saying. This isn't...
So we're not going to put Jameson Williams out too soon or any of these guys.
I think that's bullshit. I don't think... What you just said, Connor, I think it's bullshit. I think every year, every moment from now on, is all in, and that's the whole point.
If this was such a critical year and Jameson Williams was ready, they'd be putting him in there. Like, they're not sacrificing the rebuild for this season.
No, I think they just want to make sure he's ready to go and you don't taint something that you think could be really, really good. Like, I think he is incredibly special and are going to go to every precaution to make sure
what I'm saying
he comes back full strength.
If they really thought this was the year they could win the Super Bowl, I don't think they'd be as cautious with him.
I do. I think they would make sure he's ready to go down the stretch. He's much more important toward down the stretch.
I think you're ODing on Kool-Aid at this point. I think you've gone a little too far.
No such thing.
Can
there's
you
no
OD
too,
on
never,
Kool-Aid?
There's never
I
too
just
much.
Want to know. Is that possible?
I don't know. Rud Dog's trying to.
I do wonder if he's on a team like the Buccaneers or the Bills even, if it's a different scenario.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
We don't know. Speculate.
Right.
That's but the last one I want to mention, still undecided, is the Will Harris versus Okuda for the other cornerback spot.
Sounds like Jeff's pulling ahead.
Sounds like it.
It does, but it's not like he's not pulling away as much as you maybe want him to.
I don't see anything's encouraging at this point to see him just getting comfortable playing the game. Like, that's the main thing. He has to just be out there putting in the reps and learning because he's coming back from a catastrophic injury. So, I mean, just the fact that he's putting in those reps is really encouraging. And, you know, he'll keep getting battle tested.
Yeah, that's fair. We all think Okuda, though, ends up being the second starting cornerback for this team.
At the moment, I am leaning that way, yeah.
That's what it sounds like. I'm not counting out Will,
so
though.
Close, you know, just like the quarterback competition. At the moment, I'm leaning Boyle, but it could easily tip the other way. It has the last couple of weeks. I can't even make up my mind. I don't even know what's going to happen. The Okuda thing, yeah, right now it's leaning, I think, in his favor. But, you know, who knows? He's got a couple of weeks left.
Yeah, the only thing is I heard that what's-his-face, Will got burnt a bit by the Indianapolis Colts wide receiver corps. That Jeff held up kind of okay, at least.
Hmm. And that,
which
I
is not
call
the
that
most encouraging.
Indianapolis thing. Receiver corps blazing, filled with blazing speed.
Right, yeah. As far as like ceiling for Jeff this season, oh man, I hope he can get to starter quality.
Oh, I think we all do. That's for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That's the
he
real question.
He definitely has a work
right?
ethic to get there.
Yeah, he does. He does.
So if you can be like 60% of what we thought he could be, I think that'd be a win.
We can cover him up a bit.
I really hope, you know, we see Aquara at some point this season. I have no idea where he's at in his recovery. Either Aquara, honestly.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Josh Pascal, who knows? Yeah.
Hey, at least Antonio Bryant's stepping up. That's exciting.
Austin Bryant.
Yeah, that's what I meant. He sounds like he's ready to have a big season.
Yeah, finally healthy for an offseason. And it's shown right now. Another sack in this game. Kaminsky stepped up. I think he had pressure on the last play of the game.
Love Kowalski. That guy's going to be great.
I think Austin Bryant could realistically be the guy who comes in every time they want to put Hutch inside, you know, because that would have been like Aquara or you know, one of the other backups, but now he's like primed to be behind Harris and Hutch on the edge, I think. What it sounds like.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we covered a lot here. Again, the Lions' second preseason game. They finally get the victory. They get over the hump. And now they head into their third preseason game.
Another meaningless tussle to decide who's going to make the team. And then we get on to the real season.
I heard that Bob said, or Dan Campbell said that no matter what, we're not letting Goff play this week. They're not even playing him at all in this last game, no matter what he says.
No, I hope not. I hope.
Yeah.
But he was addressing, you know, what he did before. He's like, no matter what he does, he's staying out. We're all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I certainly hope they would play no starters.
I just love that you got to fight to keep your quarterback off the field. That just gets me excited about Goff.
The Lions play Sunday, August 28th at Pittsburgh. That's 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. So look out for that. It says it's on CBS here, so I don't know if that's national or if that's just local. It's a little tough to watch these preseason games, but that's okay.
You still betting on them, Biggie?
No. Ever since David Blau fumbled that one and I lost my bet.
Doesn't that leave give more unpredictability?
Except the Ravens, though, they are predictable. They won 23 in a row.
That's insane.
Hey, you know what, though? Wild. Speaking of winning, though, I somehow feel like winning this game actually meant something more this year, like, especially with all the messaging and stuff, like they said, like everything they've been saying. Like, I think just even winning this game means more to this team than most years, because they need to just get that taste and never let it go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you might be right on that, yeah.
Definitely for Dan Campbell's messaging perspective, it helps.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it meant more to Dan Campbell than anybody else.
But I love that. He's making it all so important. And, you know, like, that was always the job of, like, coach. Like, me and UJ have talked about this, like, part of your coach's job is to build up everything. Like, it's so important. Like, every opponent is going to be this badass, hardcore opponent that you got to raise to your level of play to, regardless of who it is. Even if it's some crappy team where, like, you know, half the kids don't even have like shoelaces or something. Like you got to expect that they're going to be, you know, really good, and you got to come out ready to play. And that's just the way you have to approach everything. And Dan Campbell does that so good. He builds them up about everything, about every game, about every practice, about every, you know, unit time alone moment of the day is emphasized. It's so crucial, and I love it.
Well, the good news, yeah. Rudd Dog, is that everyone on the Detroit Lions has shoelaces in their shoes.
That is good news. That is good news.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my
God. Great starting point. All right, gentlemen, I think we're going to wrap it up here. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts just about Hard Knocks or, you know, the roster bubble, quarterback, the cornerback group, wide receiver, Cephas versus Benson versus Kennedy.
Yeah, Cephas for sure.
Love to get all your thoughts. Sideline Report.com. Thank you for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. And thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Appreciate having him help out with the pod as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So thank you, everybody. Rudd Dog, UJ, Connor, Big Z. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not
least, you, Big Z.
As always, go.
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.